this is a third public service announcement and also actually some information. By this point, if you've listened to part one and two, you'll know we are quite drunk and quite tipsy and quite rambly. You also will have heard us going on about our return to the book club, our last Are We Our Lizards of the Year on October 22nd. We announced Sean Keaveney as our guest. Since recording this podcast, he sadly had to drop out. We've got a huge replacement lined up. As I'm recording this intro, I can't confirm it yet, but it will be announced on my Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. So keep an eye out there. But in general, come down on October 22nd for the last We Are Lizards nightclub of the year at the book club. Now, on with the drunk cast. As we mentioned in this part, I believe that the last Are We Our Lizards is the day after Chris's birthday. So who knows? Maybe Craig will make an appearance. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is part three of the drunk cast. I've got a mouthful of roses. The sweets. The sweets, as well as the lint we've got.
Romantic.
Sweets, roses. This is brought to you by Speech Venom Records. It's brought to you by Redshift, our rebels as well. Give some plugs for that, Stu, as the professional of the duo.
T-shirts, sweats, and the best caps you're going to find, www.redshiftrebels.com.
That is the one. So, we're going to jump on with the podcast. There's a lot to discuss still. We will be ending with a story from Craig, brought to you by lovebeer.co.uk.
Boom.
Chris, let's hit the intro music. That's not the podcast intro music.
Baby, you know how much I hate that fucking record.
We need to shut up so we've got a pause where Buddy Peace can put the actual intro music in.
Buddy, hit it.
And now we're on the actual podcast. I wonder if we got room on October 22nd if Buddy's in the country.
I thought you were going to say Seal. I was going to say that.
Room for Seal on the 22nd? Probably not. We got a stacked one, haven't we, with Sean and that. Anyway.
Worst song ever made, then. I honestly think that's one of the worst records ever made.
I love it. It means a lot to me. Yeah. I was on... I just sat up in my chair all intensely. Watch out, guys. It's about to get...
Someone take a sip of his coffee.
I had the pleasure...
I was backpacking.
I had the pleasure of experiencing that song released twice. Because during my first holiday in America as a child...
Not the one where you just walk around America for a month on your own. got a grand phone bill.
We'll get to that. That's now mysterious. We'll get to that. we will. That's, I've got to address that now. But yeah, I went to America as a kid, and it was. we went to a drive-in cinema and saw the Batman film that had that in, and it was out at the time. And then the beautiful thing was, at that point, things came out in America ahead of the UK. Don't yawn. disrespectful. so that when we were...
podcast gold as usual.
So when we returned to the UK, I got the pleasure of hearing it all over again. And
I never had a problem with Seal.
Sounds like you've got a bit of a problem with him now, mate. What happened?
But I hate that record. Really hate it.
It's all right. It's not that bad. From what was it? A Batman? Was it a Batman film?
Yeah, it was.
Was that the one that also U2 did? Was it? Was it the one that U2 did the? I was so young then that I heard that. I was like, oh, that's all right song. They must be in all right band.
Oh, the folly of youth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just to address what Chris was referencing, at the age of 18, I decided to try and travel America. Originally, it was going to be me and Tom Coles.
Mm-hmm. Who again? Tom, we can say his surname Tom, because he's been on the podcast.
Tom wisened up. No.
We were both meant to be saving our money to go travelling, and he didn't. And I was like, right, I've saved the money. I'll go travel in America. Problem was, it turns out, in America, they're really strict on their alcohol stuff, and you have to be over 21 to get in anywhere. So I spent a month in America, unable to meet anyone. I'd literally go days on end, like, without talking to a single person. It was really good. Yeah, cheers. Thanks for the empathy. I was staying in a hostel, and it was me on the top bunk and a Chinese couple on the bottom bunk.
Hey.
Who didn't speak any English, but they enjoyed cuddling and giggling. So that was fun. And as Chris mentioned, I had one of the first tri-band phones, which would work in America. And I got home after this month. It hadn't worked. It hadn't worked out. I'd run out of money. I'd made no friends. I'm convinced I stayed in the same hostel as Brody Dale from the Distillers before she was... famous. And I've got this, there was this punk girl staying in this hostel in Santa Monica, and we exchanged a few looks, and again I was a nervous nerd. I was like, yeah man, we're gonna fall in love and all this. I never saw her again, but I'm convinced it's Brody Dale. Anyway,
lovely.
She is lovely. And you'd remember that, right? You'd remember her. So I got home, and weirdly, to get this tri-band phone, this is a fucking great story. It's not boring at all. To get this tri-band phone,
Stu's yawning.
Me and my dad had to me and my dad had to have a shared contract. We've still got a shared contract to this day, which annoys him profusely.
What are you going on? Really?
It annoys him. And like, I pay it all. It just comes in his name. But anyway, it's boring. We had a shared contract. And when I landed, he picked me up from the airport, and he got a phone call saying, you've reached the limit on your phone. And he was like, bloody hell, that's 500 quid. It's like, how have you run up a bill? You've been away a month. You run up a bill of 500 quid. When the bill finally came through, it turned out, because it was a joint contract, it was a limit of 500 quid each. And they can't stop it immediately. So it had gone over. So it was something like a £1,137, I think I remember. And that was my phone bill.
Getting his ear chewed off. He went to America and he ran that up. So.
I didn't have loads of phone. The fact was, anytime someone rung me or sent me a message, at that point, it cost you money as well. So I didn't have tons of conversations. Right. Just over a month, it was every now and then, and it fucking rinsed me.
That sounds rubbish.
Yeah, it was proper rubbish. It wasn't a good time. It's something I look back on and enjoy, but at the time, there was loads of moments that I was absolutely miserable. At this point, right, I went on this this group excursion thing to the Grand Canyon. So I'm staying in Santa Monica Bay, and there was this thing. It's like, get a minibus to the Grand Canyon. And it's like, yeah, let's do that. And I get it, and there's a load of kind of Australian travellers and that. And again, as we established in the Going to Limmy Live story, I'm not the most easily engaging or with strangers.
It's tough to start a conversation when you're halfway through a comic book.
Yeah.
Crouching down
reading
in the shadows. You're not even actually reading. You've just got it open.
I'm just charging my tri-band phone.
I can film you in the shower later.
We go and do the Grand Canyon, and it was a dope as fuck tour, because like, we get there and the tour guide's like, look, we're about 2 hours from sunset, and at sunset all the colours go purple and all this. It's crazy. It's like, who's up for staying? And one guy was like, oh, I've got a business meeting I need to get back for. And he said, right, well, let's have a vote. And they voted, and we stayed. And I love that element of it. It wasn't this kind of, here's what it's going to be. It's like, well, you've been out very good luck. I walk in 8 hours across the desert. We're staying for the sunrise. And I climbed about. This is terrible. I climbed about on the rocks on my own with my headphones. I popped on some Pearl Jam. I sat on the rocks in the Grand Canyon and listened to Even Flow. Thoughts arrive like butterflies. I had a great time. So we did all that, and then we go back to the hotel.
Like 1 week by Skunk and Nancy.
If that was me, it would have been
in nature, and Chris is breaking stuff, smashing a rock. Fuck it. So we go back to the hostel. Let's go, girls. Anyway, so We go back to the hostel and there's a barbecue and I go down and have a bit of a chat, but still I'm feeling a bit of my usual reclusive weirdo self, and I'm like, right, I'm going up to my room.
Be my usual reclusive weirdo self.
Dangerous loner.
Usual dangerous loner. I'm like, right, I'm going to go up to my room. What time are we leaving in the morning? And the guy's like, 9:10-ish. I'm like, well, give me a shout and, you know, all good. So I go up to my room, I go to sleep. And it gets like 9-ish. I'm like, oh, no one's giving me a shout. I'm like, oh, I'm sure they'll come in a minute. And it gets about 10 and I go down. And I'm like, and this is at the Grand Canyon, which is a fair way away from Santa Monica, where my hotel general...
I have to get a helicopter there. It's quite a way.
Yeah. It's a fair... All right. Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, I have to get a helicopter there. It's fucking long, eh? Wait, ain't getting a fucking minibus.
Yeah, fuck that.
So I go down at like 10 and I'm like, go to reception. Like, do you know what time like the minibus, the tour party's leaving? And then, they left at 9.
Oh no!
And I'm like, all right.
I'm like,
all right. And we were staying in Vegas. Sorry, so Vegas is near the Grand Canyon. So we're staying in Vegas, and I'm like, oh. So I'm like, I'm here now, and I need to be in Santa Monica. So I kind of pack my stuff, and I go to my bank account, and I can't get any money out. I've run out of money. And my uncle, who travelled America like when he was a youngster, had messaged say, I've booked you a hotel. But this is the day I thought, it's in Santa Monica. So I've been staying in this hostel and I have this nice hotel booked in Santa Monica. Like, in fact, it was in LA, but it was in, like, I'm sure it's Beverly Hills or somewhere that's, you know, as fancy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, fuck. I'm in, like, Vegas. So I managed to find my way to the Greyhound station. I go and ask how much a ticket is and I've not got enough. So I have to beg at the Greyhound station for enough money. Hey. Stu's making dick sucking indications. Chris, not quite as subtle as Stu, has gone for full audio depiction of oral sex with facilitating the male genitalia. So yeah, I have to beg for money, and I get enough. And I feel like that shady, shady dude. And it's so bad because, you know, in London, someone will come up to go, oh, can I have some change for this? And you're thinking, oh, you're a fucking drunk or druggy or whatever else. And it's harsh because it's like, that was legit me. And then I get the money and I get on the ground bus, and the ground buses out of Vegas are shady as fuck. Like, it was real
I guess.
Criminals and some dodgy people.
Shirt off your back.
Yeah, it was real dark. And I sit down. And the woman who sits next to me is what a British... You're right, Stuart.
I thought that was
just
thunder.
Just burping there. What a British a British satire cartoonist would draw American as.
Okay.
She was very big and very loud, and I sit down, and she had a lot of biscuits, and she smelt of biscuits. Or cookies, as they insist on
it's
calling
them. It's not the
them.
Worst to smell
And I sit down, and she starts talking to me. She goes, so, your first time in Vegas? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, did you win? And I kind of just put my headphones in and turned away. And then had like a 9-hour coach journey next to this woman. And I get to this hotel, and I'm covered in sand. I've got my rucksack. Like, I look a fucking a mess. I didn't have the beard then, but it's effectively a wreck. But my uncle put me into this shit hotel, so I get there proper late, and I walk in, and they're all looking at me like I'm a homeless person who's just stumbled in, and I'm like, they're like, can we help you, sir? And I'm like, I've got a room booked, and that, and they're like, all right, kind of, I rolled her eyes, and I'm like, a Mr. Pip. It wasn't Mr. Pip, it was my real name, but I'm using the mirage of podcasting.
Mirage, yeah.
A Mr. Pip, and they enter into their thing, and then they look shocked as it comes up, and instantly a bellboy comes and takes my rucksack, and suddenly I was like, yeah, you're fucking right, it's Mr. Pip here to stay in this nice hotel. And I got to have my nice couple of nights in this slick hotel. Then I went back to my hostel and then came home with £1,000 bill. But yeah, that was my failed attempts at travelling America. I went to see Gladiator at the cinema, and they all got up at the end and applauded, and I was disgusted.
Yeah, yeah, that's
I enjoy
like,
the film Gladiator, but don't fucking applaud. No one's here.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, you know what, when we were watching a movie American today, Psycho occasionally, well amazing movie, occasionally I will clap at the end of a film. Occasionally.
Grow up.
Yeah, grow up.
When it's, once it, if it's a solid nine.
But I'll to clap. Be fair, regardless of time, you will jump to your feet in my living room, scream and cheer and hit the ceiling and floor if a good fight happens. So.
Watching Gladiators.
Watching Gladiators.
No, that's
I saw Rocky IV at the State Theatre in Grays when it came out. It was like being at the fight.
Yeah.
Everyone was on their feet cheering.
Amazing.
It was
that's the bollocks.
It was
man.
Incredible.
I went to a thing at the State Theatre a while ago and I was gutted that it was
you young like are you too young to remember that?
Yeah, I am. Sorry, mate.
Sorry, Rocky IV.
Yeah.
No, that's not too young. What's no, that? But that's to remember that's
the State Theatre. I wouldn't have been. Oh, I never
sorry,
went
sorry,
to the
State
Theatre.
Would have come out about 1986, 7?
No, yeah. Was that so, really that early? Yeah.
So I would have been 5 or 6. So I wouldn't have seen
no,
it at the
right,
cinema.
Yeah, no.
Or 37.
But this leads on to one of Stu's stories. My mum dragged me along to a thing that was a council type thing because of the State Theatre, and it was an immersive experience. And you go in there, and the State Theatre is a beautiful old building. It's where they filmed Deeper Underground,
Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
by Jamiroquai, Who Framed Roger a Rabbit. Sorry, I thought you were just making noises. it's a beautiful place, and this immersive thing. I was like, all right, I'll go along, and it was fucking brilliant. And you walk in and it was all cobwebby and you kind of, you're standing there and then an old man comes, oh, have you got your tickets? And then he sends you upstairs and you go into the bar and there was like a woman in 50s clothes at the bar who's lighting a cigarette and then when she blows out the match, the room's in pitch black. And it was this whole weird thing, you're just touring about. And it was at the fucking State Theatre in Grays. It was this beautiful thing that was on for a brief amount of time. I really rated it. And it was, I'd say it was 10 years ago, and it was before a lot of these immersive things then came about with a secret cinema and all that. But again, I'm just trying to lead on to your immersive experience in London recently.
Yeah, I done something on Saturday night
that I'm not proud of.
Yeah. Sorry, no, me and and my wife went to
you're pissing yourself.
Yeah, it was only because she said you got a bit too drunk.
An immersive, I think it's called like the London Drop-Off Immersive Ensemble or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Drop-Off for my mates is me going take a shit. So that's, every time you say that, it tickles me.
Thanks for the update.
Cheers, Chris. and basically we
more
had
from Craig later.
We had to meet at Waterloo Station, wear something blue and stand outside a certain exit of the station. And,
sounds a bit much.
Yep.
Set up to be a patsy for a terrorist attack.
And
I wear a beard.
Yep. Anyway, as we stood there, there's another two people wearing blue. It became apparent that they signed up to do it as well. Mm-hmm. But we was aware that there was 12 people doing this on this time slot. But we
it's a weird shit, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Go on, continue.
And so, yeah, this guy's come up. And was just loitering about, and then basically just come over and went, have you got a password? And we got a really creepy voicemail that morning giving us our password. Wow. So I said the password, and he was like, right, just fucking walk with me. And like, so we started walking with this dude.
Threatening.
And he just sort of went, showed me a picture of this guy, and he went, this guy is on the run, he's missing, you need to find him.
What train station was this?
This is Waterloo.
Because I'm just going to hang about there and wait for a load of people in blue and then fuck with them. Come with me, you pricks.
So
this is Craig.
Yeah.
There's something in my pants. So, it needs lubrication.
There's something in my pants. Who's going to help? Quick.
Some like that white tiled underground toilet that stinks of piss.
Come with me.
Oh, sorry.
There's no time to explain.
Oh,
I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycle and your MetaCard.
I know what I'm doing Saturday.
There's no time to explain. Everyone down to Waterloo. Everyone down to Waterloo. Come with me, guys.
Fuck.
There's no time to explain. It's not what it looks like. But just touch it.
It's immersive cinema.
It's an immersive experience. Immerse yourself in my pants.
Get your hand right in there.
I need to clarify that it could be male and females on this, just that this is not a sexist or predatory thing.
There's some reason when we said put your hands in your pants, I'm imagining that scene in Flash when they put their hand in that, like, you know, where there's all the holes and there's a scorpion that stings the hand.
So how did he get a scorpion in there? There's no time to explain.
Just get your hand in there.
Oh, fuck. Anyway,
I don't know if this is funny for anyone listening at all. It's had some kind of breakdown.
Sorry, so anyway,
I'm going to really struggle.
Waterloo,
I'm really going to struggle to get this.
So you're in Waterloo Station, you've got your hand down a lad's pants.
So the combination was in his anus. It's in that time to explain.
Go on, you're all in blue. This guy's on the run. His name's Craig.
So. He said, right, go.
No time to explain. Put on these gloves.
Oh, fuck.
I'm not going to be able to tell it. It ain't going to happen. I will not be able to spit it out.
So we'll get our shit together.
So, you're in blue. You're in Waterloo.
Fuck off. Duncan,
you're
in blue.
Waterloo. You're like, what is going on here? And he's like, come with me. This guy's escaped.
Right. And then he says, you need to...
What does he say?
Just fuck! Laughing.
Right, come with me. Look, this guy... Have a look at this guy.
He sends me into a pub and he says, go and ask for this barmaid. So I go in and ask for this barmaid.
We best huddle together to keep warm. Her body heat will transfer.
You've gone in there. You've gone in there, right?
And so she's like, what do you want? And I said, I'm looking for this guy. She had a picture. Like, do you know anything? No, I don't. Who are you? Are you a police? I said, no. She said, okay. So we walk out the pub.
Sorry.
And before this fella just disappears, he says, just watch her.
Oh.
I was like, okay. So.
I was going to anyway.
Oh, I know where she lives. I parked my car outside her house for the last 4 days. Watch her come and go.
Oh, what, number four?
Yeah.
Just watch her, no problem.
Yeah, and basically she slipped out of the pub without us noticing, and then we clocked her down the running down the road, so we had to run after her. You get given Oyster cards and a phone. So we're running after her. We jump on a train. We're in the next car, like in the same carriage, but trying to watch her where she goes. Get back out, walk up through this market. This other fella comes up, and he's like, what the fuck are you following her for? What's your fucking problem? And you're just like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, I work for blah, blah, blah. Like, you do not want to fuck with this geezer. Like, here's his business card. I suggest you go and see him there. And so,
we didn't get a business card.
We have to go to the Hilton, go into the Hilton, and he's sitting there in his bar with all his glasses of wine laid out for you in his suit, just going like, do you know who I am? Like, Mr. Gangster.
Mm.
Blah, blah, blah.
Shit name.
There's
only one.
Well, I'm not going to give too much away names-wise because it's key to it.
Yeah.
Also, they're not weirdos, Stu.
What? he put his hands... Oh, right. it then sort of moved into... You have to make a decision as to, like, who you think he's setting up who. Mm-hmm. The guy that's on the run or this criminal. But basically, you arrange a meet in the end through these, like, passwords, and what you end up getting his password, texting it to, you get the guy for the number for the guy that's on the run, get his number, text him, he agrees to meet you. So you walk down by the London Eye and then you meet the other 8 people that make up the 12 in your group that have got their own kind of guy story with them. So you all meet in the middle of packed fucking South Bank
Circle Jack
and And then literally, he just turns up in a cab and he's like, are you trying to fucking stitch me up? Fucking run now. And he just starts running. And then basically 12 people are just running through the South Bank.
Amazing.
And then he's like, follow me. And you just like run down the jetty, mm-hmm. straight onto a speedboat, and then just fucking steam up the Thames on a speedboat. Like, it's fucking mental. And like, and then you know, you're making your decision. He's trying to tell you that this fucking guy's this, that. And it's like, they're super hyper aggressive. And he's like, what have you fucking got your phone out for? What are you fucking taking pictures of me for? And it's like, and you throw yourself into it. And it was one of the best sort of things like that I've ever done.
And what was it? And where can you kind of.
Design My Night. Missy's found it on Design My Night.
Design My Night.
The London drop off. Immersive ensemble. If you go on to Design My Night, I'm sure it's on there, but yeah. I'd highly recommend it. It was a really mad night out.
That sounds dope.
Did you say how much it was, mate?
60 quid a ticket.
Oh,
it's a bargain, that.
But that's a speedboat up the Thames, and that's drinks in the Hilton, and then like drinks afterwards in the place where it finishes.
That sounds dope.
Mm.
Chris?
Let's go, girls.
I think we should. That sounds like a great night out.
Man, that sounds awesome, dude. Oh, my God.
It makes me think of like really, that whole decision-making thing. It makes me think of getting to go on a murder in Successville.
Mm. Oh, man.
You watched that, the first series, man, like, the second series was on recently.
To me, like when you say Murder in Successville, when you talk about immersive cinema, I just think that's how different forms of entertainment are pushing forward. Like, I thought Murder in Successville was a great comedy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just comedy. It was a whole creative setup that I just loved. Yeah. I liked how it pulled in people from different walks of life, even people like from Jamie and Made in Chelsea. That was funny as fuck, man.
That was the best episode.
And you had great quality actors, comedy actors as well.
Yeah.
I just thought that was genius. And immersive cinema, I think, is that and things like, for me, VR computer games, VR horror.
Yeah.
Because horror it's like games.
Amazing, that shit now.
That was a game called Outlast that I played not that long ago, which was 3D horror. Oh, man. I love horror anyway. It's an adrenaline rush.
You proper had a little jump in the cinema today when that joke jumped up. He almost grabbed my arm. He genuinely jumped that much when we went to see Don't Breathe.
Yeah.
Which is all right. It's a good film.
Solid.
Good, I really enjoyed it.
Not amazing, but good.
Before we get on to films, I'm going to read you the message I got on Facebook, and then I might see how you would have reacted.
Oh,
and
I like
you
would that. Have done. I love that.
Because
yeah,
I sent
yes,
this to a
please.
Few mates, and they all gave different suggestions.
Yeah,
so I had a message from a lady called Rose. I won't give any more details. It just said...
Seal, basically.
It just said, Phil, ... Holy shit, dude, I backpacked around Malaysia with you in like 2002, ... A friend shared one of your Twitter posts on my newsfeed. Don't ask me why or how. And I remembered your email was something like Scroobius Pip. Anyway, you've clearly turned that talent of yours into something epic. Congrats. Take care, buddy. If you're ever in Toronto, give me a shout. It's a hell of a message to get, right?
Imagine.
How would you respond to that, Chris? Would you have...
I'd have gone to Toronto.
You just turned up.
What's up?
Fill up in this bitch! They call me Chris now. No time to explain.
Well, seen as smelly vinyl wearing blue. No, that's fantastic. I don't know.
It was a hell of a message.
I would have rolled with it.
I was tempted to roll with it. I sent it to Stu, who we've mentioned as well, other Stu, and they were like, you've got to go, like our group message that we've got, they were like, you've got to go with it, you've got to play along, but I couldn't do it, man.
You tapped out real quick on that.
I tapped out quick. I mean, I just had to confess. I had to look and see if she was attractive or single, and then I just had to confess.
Yeah, once identified, she's got kids.
Well, I was just like, no,
she wasn't vulnerable in any way, shape, or form.
I can't exploit this. So, yeah, I did just say, hey, my name's not Phil. Never been to Malaysia in 2002. But thanks. And haven't heard back. But it was a very exciting message to get. It was
much hilarious. Super message. Yeah, I'd have carried it on. Or, normally, I'd end up in jail. Like, not realistically, like, in truth, but...
Have you seen my dog?
I would have said, oh, no, I'm in jail now. Things haven't worked out as well. I'm replying from jail is what I mean. Not like I'd have gone to Toronto and...
Speaking of Stu, Stu once was round... Tom Coles, who we can say his surname because...
We're not talking about me, are we?
No, other Stu was round Tom Coles and he got a text. It was back in the day. He got a text and just said, like, something like, hey, baby girl, you in? And he responded the whole time just going, yeah, I'm in, how are you? and invited this guy round and this guy was going to come round. It was like, it's Craig from college or some shit, and he just flirted for the whole afternoon with some guy who had the wrong number completely.
Probably pulling himself around his room. I'm on it.
Beautifully put, Chris. Probably pulling himself around his room. Let's get on to films. Okay.
Star Trek. Shall we start with Star
Trek? So, Star Trek, have you watched it?
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too, but I think they've dug themselves into a hole of just being really reliable. It's kind of the same way I feel about Jason Bourne, of just, they're just really solid. I left Star Trek ages ago, this is great fun. Mm. That's exactly what I wanted from Star Trek. It delivered on every account, but I didn't have a lot to say after that. I kind of
when I watched the first when Abrams redid it and re-envisioned it, I thought it was exactly on point from the trailer
exactly
to
that. I was
the
excited
semiotics,
about the first one, and since then they've not got any worse at all.
No,
as
well,
good as the first one. It's
strangely,
not,
I felt there was a, well, strangely, I felt I didn't enjoy the one with Cumberbatch as much. I know that's against common opinion. I felt they kind of, and it wasn't his performance that was the reason for that. It was because I felt that they'd done really well building the characters in the first one, and then you didn't see a lot of them so much in the second one. For example, the chap who's now unfortunately
passed away.
What was the motherfucker's name?
Can't think. But he was also in a film called Green Room, which you recommended last time, and I watched it off the back of the last podcast.
We'll go
it was amazing.
On that, and I totally agree. And so I wasn't that blown away by the second one.
Mm.
And in the third one, I felt they'd come back and brought it back to more of the characters.
Yeah, I agree.
I hated the start. Like, when Star Trek Beyond started, I went to see it with Dave Knott and one of his buddies, and it was exciting because, you know, love Dave, and it started, and I fucking hated that start, and I was worried. You know, as I've said many times on this podcast, I get salty with movies.
You do,
and it started, and I was like, "This is gonna be like dog shit." Mm. So I was ready with feces in my hands to start flinging it at the cinema screen.
You normally go prepared with feces.
I do, I warm it up as well, and but I didn't have to. I really enjoyed it.
It is
solid, and maybe
it's a victim of its own consistency.
Marvel,
really.
You could argue Marvel's that now. Yeah. You could argue, like you say, the Bourne.
Similar. I once asked Simon Pegg what the JJ stands for at the beginning of JJ Abrams, and he told me that each J stands for a further two JJs. and it's ever repeating, so it stands for JJ JJ Abrams, and those JJs stand for JJ 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 Abrams, and so on and so forth.
It's going to go on for ages.
Yeah.
What was we going to say? Green Room? Oh, right, that's interesting.
Green Room
was cracking. It's really sad. So Green Room's a wicked horror film. It's simple.
Cole was great in that.
Yeah,
who's in Peaky Blinders, which we've raved about before.
Fucking hell, It was a script that was simple, but it was executed perfectly. And I think anyone who's looking to aspire to make a quality movie should look at Green Room and take a lot of lessons from that.
It was fantastic.
And he was dope in that. And then it was such a shame to hear how he died. And did you hear about how this guy died? I want to look at his name and people tell you how motherfucker died. Do you remember? Do you know how he died?
No, I don't. But I know that the Green Room was great. And weirdly, since then, I've also watched another film. Because Green Room is a lot of it is around skinheads. And it's about a band who end up playing...
Yeah, I know.
A punk band that end up playing in a skinhead place. Weirdly, I watched another film this week called Imperium, I think it is. And the description of this is going to make you go, fuck off. So it's Harry Potter, and he's playing an FBI agent going undercover in a skinhead gang. And that sounds ridiculous. And I saw it on demand, and I was like, it had 4 out of 5 stars. And often they can be a bit inaccurate because they're trying to sell you it anyway. And I Googled it, and it had all high ratings. And it was really fucking good, because the fact is, it's Harry Potter playing a guy who's straight out of kind of the college part of FBI, and the reason they're putting him undercover is because he doesn't seem like a cop, and he's not your typical British cop. No, it's American. And it was really good. It was really good fun. But yeah, it would have been a lot better if I hadn't recently seen a Green Room, which I think nailed every subject on that kind of area so well. So go on. What was the lad's name?
So his name's Anton Yelchin.
That's right.
And the poor lad, like his star was rising, and for good reason. I thought he was great in Star Trek and Green Room, and I'm not sure if he was in other things. I'm sure he was. But this guy, his vehicle. Here's the statement his lawyer made. Anton was crushed and lingered alive for some time, trapped and suffocating until death. And effectively, he was pinned between his vehicle and a post box.
Let's fuck this off, because that's horrible. But what the fact is, let's focus on the fact he was, again, I remember like when Star Trek came out, he was just amazing in that role and enigmatic. And the thing that got me about a Green Room was it was a complete departure, completely different character, was absolutely amazing. So
totally, I didn't even recognise.
Let's focus more to make it depressing. Less on the details of whatever happened, but the fact that he's amazing.
I just thought it was a tragedy because that's so out of the blue. That's like one of those horrible accidental deaths.
Yeah.
A Green Room, I didn't even recognise it was him straight away.
He was fantastic. I mean, everyone in Green Room was fantastic.
Patrick Stewart.
I really rated that.
Make it so.
So another film I watched recently was Nerve, which I only went to. I had some spare time. I've got this fucking Odeon card thing, Infinity thing, and I was like, I'll fit this in. And I read the premise of it, and it's a film based around the fact there's it's a new app, and it's a live streaming app, and the people watching can vote and give you tasks, and if you complete them, you get points. And it gets more and more extreme. It's like steal that dress, or do you know what I mean? It can be something stupid like a walk along the edge of this building, or steal this dress, or whatever like that.
Follow that group of people wearing blue. Convince them to touch your undercarriage.
Yep, gotcha.
As if in a scene from Flash.
It's a real simple premise, and it's got Dave Franco in. I'm a fan of the Francos. I think they're engaging people.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they're funny and engaging. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's not going to win an Oscar, but it's really good entertainment. Mm. And similar, completely different genre, but similar in a way to Central Intelligence, which again was another one I was kind of... And me and Limmy discussed this, how sometimes you don't want to watch a good film. Like you don't want the pressure of a good film. You don't want the pressure of this is a classic. And I had that the other night, and I slung Central Intelligence on, and it fucking cracked me up. It was just stupid. And as we said, Kevin Hart, the biggest comedian in the world. I don't think we've discussed him before, but on his tour in 2015, have a guess the biggest venue he played. Capacity wise, bearing in mind Hammersmith Apollo is 5,000, and
all right, so I'd say 50,000 then.
Stu,
60,000.
It was in between the two. It was over 53,000 people, which for a comedy gig, that's insane.
I've been trying my hardest to get Festival Kevin Hart for
Festival
years.
Is one of the biggest festivals. That's around 30,000-40,000 people in the whole festival site.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart was doing a tour, and one of the shows was over 50,000 people. Yeah,
to see that in an audience would be
madness, right? But I really, I've not seen any of his stand up. He slays me
I've seen bits of his stand up. I've seen bits of his movies. And
I saw that MMA film he done, which I thought was pretty shit.
Did he do an MMA film?
Was that not him? Paul Blart?
No. You're thinking of Kevin, what's his name? Who's Paul Blart?
Yeah.
What's his name?
The white dude. We're talking about the black dude.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name? I love him in King of Queens.
Paul Blart is the only thing coming to me.
Paul Blart, him. But yeah, no, it's a different guy, Stu. He's not the biggest comedian in the world.
Kevin Hart, I'm like desperate to like dial into because of his mainstream success. I'm like, I need to dial into it. I enjoyed Central
Intelligence.
And
I really enjoyed it. I think The Rock is fantastic. I think The Rock is a hilarious dude. There's a YouTube
about Rock and Kevin Hart doing impressions of each other.
Yeah.
Which is fucking comedy gold.
I think he's a hilarious dude, and he nailed it in that he came straight out of wrestling and did roles that were he played a gay bodyguard.
That was
just stuff that was a bit more interesting than just he's a muscly action guy. Kevin James, who is legit. He's a legit Brazilian jiu-jitsu brown or purple belt, I think. Was a wrestling star at school. Like he was at all the early MMA events. It was an ongoing a joke between me and my brother. I watched him early on that Kevin Hart was the most famous person into MMA at the time. But shall we move on from films?
I've seen one. Suicide Squad. And I want to talk about the Brent film.
The Brent film?
Oh, yes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I really did.
I fucking loved it. Yeah.
So did I. And what I loved particularly about it is Gervais's writing style, without giving anything away, but I think he writes some really heartfelt stuff. If you've ever watched Derek, you know that he can really...
Yeah,
he can
play We discussed this in the last one. Mm. When we talked about the passing of... royal family,
Caroline.
Oh, right, yeah. So we spoke about that, and we spoke about their ability, like the writers of the royal family, to be able to just spin it and have you in tears, like of you know, and we did speak about Gervais,
and Brett Goldstein and his lot as well with Super Bob, with him being in Derek as well, was that element of going right. It doesn't have to be cynical humour. That's most of the humour I enjoy. So there's a beautiful art to go in.
I'm putting out a big shout to my homeboy Brett Goldstein there.
Yeah, he's your dude now.
He's my mate.
He sent you a nice message, didn't he?
What? I got a text.
What?
Right?
No.
I got a text, a tweet from Brett Goldstein, right? Which I didn't reply to on the night because...
He was convinced I was with Brett.
I thought you we were two taking pair of pricks were with him, and you were like, right, let's mug him off. Let's send him something really nice so he says something sweet back. And so I just presumed at first it was just you,
me, Brett, and John Drever might have some big news coming up soon about Corner Boys. We're working on some big stuff.
Oh, fucking hell!
But yeah.
Anyway, oh my god, that's exciting!
Yeah,
more Corner Boys. You've not even told me about that. Hopefully,
no. But anyway, continue on.
The Brett
message or the Brent. Either of the two. I love Brett Goldstein, and he's just got a massive role in a US comedy sitcom that's going to be great. He's killing it, that boy.
He's handsome as well. That's all right. That's all good, mate. That's all good.
Neither of you have seen Super Bob still.
No,
I know this. Honestly, you're both absolutely... I love it. I push it on the podcast a lot, but it's so funny.
Do you not ever keep a little movie in your back pocket?
It's good to keep a movie in your back pocket. And it's that movie, I said, it's really easy to watch, but it's just, it's fucking lovely. Even though they cut me from it. Even though they filmed a scene with me and cut it.
Good.
Yeah, that's a reason to watch it.
You can't. Stu.
So I get this message, right? Huge fan, love the drunk cast.
Fucking.
Right. So I instantly think, that's Brett Goldstein. Brett. That's really nice. And then instantly, I just think, one of you pricks is with him going, let's mug him off.
That is something we do.
So I sort of sat on it for a couple of hours thinking, if it isn't, that's a really nice thing to say.
When you said you sat on it, was that your right hand?
And so I then replied with, that's brilliant. That's made my night. Someone else that seems to like our drunken rubbish, and it's someone whose stuff I really like. I hope all is well.
Still, we've said before that him and getting and Brian Gittins on the recording is the funniest thing.
Amazing.
Exactly. Keep it simple.
Oh man, it's so funny. You come across like such a good guy as well. It's a real delight. You should have your own TV show like a drunken Dave Letterman. Thanks for your message. I'm touched. I mean, is that not a fucking top fella or what?
I just
want
to have a little cry about that.
Do you know what? I was just like, what a fucking lovely fella.
What great acting as well to make that. You're a nice guy.
And fun.
But yeah, so in conclusion, the Brent movie was great.
We listened about Brent.
Oh yeah,
no, the Brent movie was
Brent thing was alright, wasn't it?
Yeah, but yeah. Brett's great, and again, I recommend if you've not caught it, go and Google our Corner Boys. It's me and Brett, and we're looking at working on some more. Check them out. The Purge election year. I like Purge films. Yeah, I really enjoy them. I like the simple premises.
Yeah, simple setup.
Premise. It's really easy. It's just enjoyable. I was talking to Ian about it, and he was saying how it could be loosely based on the Rousing Drums ceremony, which I looked up, and it was this thing, and it's basically like having this a ceremonial drum, but it's this huge thing that takes a few people to carry, and it gets run down the street, and there's this whole parade. And what started to happen is the drum would accidentally smash into the buildings of the wealthy or of banks and things like that. And it was a mistake, so no one could be charged. And it kind of turned into this thing where during that period, everything was a legit and legal. So they would kind of use the Rousing Drum ceremony for the working class or the poorer of society to kind of attack those who have exploited them in that year and so on and so forth. And when that ceremony was over and it had gone its full path and full course, and no one's prosecuted, everyone goes back to their days, but that was kind of...
Yeah, a means of rebalancing.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the interesting difference of that is that's within the Purge is it's not a way of rebalancing. It's a way like a constricting python to tighten the coil on the poor. To increase that elitism.
I'm not mad against some of the philosophy behind the idea of the Purge and the Purge in action. I'm against the fact that it's the rich exterminating the poor, essentially. But I don't, not on a murder scale.
Strap in, guys, everyone listening. Take a seat.
Not on a murder scale, but I don't think it's wrong in the fact that humans do benefit from purging of certain things at times. Like if you do any combat sports, going and punching a heavy bag gets a lot out, gets a lot of this anger out, and allows you. I think most young people should do some kind of martial arts because I think it breeds discipline. It gets a lot of tension and anger out, and I think that's kind of a
Yeah, I do. I think it's an extension of that. That's a weird one because that'd be a parallel that I would normally draw that would take a lot of creative thinking. And you've cast that because when you talk about something like the Purge. You know how extreme that is that it's beyond getting your kinks out, or it's to the most extreme sadistic level.
Yeah,
and also as people who have watched The Purge, I've not seen the third one, but I enjoyed the first two. It is a means of it's a capitalist vehicle. It's not about the good that you're talking about. It turns out.
Speaking of that though, because it's kind of similar to the point and story behind the struggle, like the song I've written about the struggle about Johnny Depp being a serial killer, finding that as his only release, blah blah blah. There's a new series called Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Where it's Jean-Claude Van Damme playing Jean-Claude Van Damme, but whilst he's out doing his acting roles, he's a hitman killing people.
Well, yeah, he's a secret agent, isn't he?
They've written that shit straight off from The Struggle. Fuck those guys.
I think it was Van Damme. When I was hanging out with him,
he was always going on about my records.
He was loving it.
I'm going to go outside and have a wee.
When I was teaching him.
What would you two like to talk about while I'm gone? What I've got left on my lift.
Your colours.
What you've got left on your lift.
I've got the best game I ever played. I've got the seventh happiest. I can't speak, I'm too drunk.
That's okay.
The seventh happiest place to live. Prince Nars. I don't know if we've got time to talk about Prince Nars.
Can we do four episodes? I think we've got four in us.
I think we've got four. We've still got 10-15 minutes until we're on an hour. So we can overrun on this, but I don't think we've got a full four episode.
I've got the beans in me to do that easy.
What would you like to discuss? Like, Like, while I'm out having a wee.
Well, you can have a little wee, and we will discuss your favourite game.
I'm just going to leave it to it. If you're going to...
Okay, so, Prince Nars, let's talk about that.
36-1 was Prince Nars. 36-1. Everyone goes about how he dropped off, and he lost one fight and got clipped. He came back and had an underwhelming fight after that, but damn, I'm going to go and have a wee. Enjoy, guys.
Weird how that all ended, but... I love Nars. My dad, my old man, hated Nars. I think that was a changing of the guard in a sense of showmanship when Nars was about, just because of how he entered the ring and his fighting style. But to me, that has never been like when I've studied martial arts, especially when I was younger, before I was watching Nazim. I didn't fight conventionally, and that wasn't and keeping my guard down and my arms down. I wasn't doing that because I was trying to show off or showboat. I felt I was faster. I felt I was faster and more unpredictable.
It was, I think, it was the kind of Brendan Ingle style. I think he trained Nars, and it was he also trained what was his name, Harold Bomber Graham. Prior to that as well, I think, who had a very similar style, just lightning fast, arms by his side.
Yeah.
And fought for the world title once, maybe twice, lost to, like, literally schooled, I think it was Julian Jackson and Mike McCullum on points, and then literally just colossal knockouts, like, he just got clipped. And but I thought Nazi's style was great. I thought he was exciting, but I just... couldn't wait to see Barrera smash him. Like,
really?
I love Barrera.
Yeah.
And I just think, yeah, you've got skills, but you're maffing off against a fucking tough Mexican lunatic. And like...
Yeah, but he was amazing to watch, wasn't he? Just as a spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, what
rather
was the
than a... A sports like, athletic moment as a spectacle. It was like, who is this kid? And the fact that for so long he was just getting away with it, just going, I'll dance, I'll have who a mess about it, I'll take the piss out of you.
It was the guy that dropped him a few times, and then he dropped him. It was a fucking great round. Oh, was it Kevin Kelly? I think it was Kevin Kelly?
I don't know.
I can't think. But like, I thought he was good. I still don't think he was one of the greats at all.
I just think it's crazy that in my memory, he was amazing, and then he dropped off hugely and was a mess. In my memory as a teen, like growing up and watching him. And then you look at his record, it's like, oh no, he lost once, and then just he seemed to lose the passion for it. After he lost once, he stopped for a long while, and then when he came back, it was a win, but a very underwhelming win. And he just kind of seemed to go, nah, I'm done.
Yeah. Didn't he have injuries in the hand as well? Didn't he take...
Didn't he get done for drink driving?
I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, but that was a serious smash up as well.
I think he had injuries in the heart, Chris.
Yeah.
I thought his style was exciting, and I like that style, and was what's his face? Khan, was he Brendan Ingle as well when he first started? Yeah, I think he was. So, you know, he puts up great fighters. But yeah, I just love the fact that Barrera just shut him down.
I must be honest. I never enjoyed watching really even him really getting in the ring. Like I didn't. I was kind of young, but watching him fight was just that, so.
I remember I was at school and it was all that Prince Nars, his entrance, his flipping to the ring, his dancing in the ring.
He's
taking the piss of being that
level
ahead. I never
dialed into any of that. I just used to watch him. Someone throw a punch and then him flying hands down onto their chin.
Yeah.
And to me, I love that. And I guess that is why I've always had such an affinity for someone like Anderson Silva.
It was interesting because it was the luring and striking at a different angle. And a lot of people gave, and this is completely different, but a lot of people gave Overeem a lot of stick in his fight with Stipe because he kept turning his back and running away.
Yeah.
Now, the first two times he did it, he turned and ran. And then out of nowhere, turned on a sixpence and threw a lovely cross. And it felt using that as a tactic is wicked.
Yeah,
Admittedly, after that, his running he was maybe too tired. It didn't turn into these attacks. But as a tactic, I was like, well, that's great if you're doing that as a thing, as to come from a different angle, to strike from a position that's not expected. You've got your back turned. So the last thing they're going to be thinking is defence.
You've got that whole room to fight. And this is very much like if you watch... you ever watch movies on Warfield Battle and stuff like that, or Sun Tzu, you've got that whole arena to fight in. If you're running away consistently, like you don't want to make contact, that's fine. But there are so many different ways to fight. You have people who get, like, they have an alpha strike. They get in, they hit hard, they're out. Or you have attrition fighters, people Machida, who want to fight up against the ring and soak it up.
For so long, just everyone hated him because he was so evasive. And it worked so well.
To me, what impresses me is if you're a master at that art. Like, if you're half decent at that, then fuck you. But if you're really good at that, like, people were banging on about having a go at McGregor with Nate. Yeah. No. Why on fucking God's earth would Connor, with someone Nate's side,
with someone that stand can't get
in his
out.
Pocket
yeah.
who's got better stamina?
Yeah.
No.
I mean...
Idiot would say
but
that.
But nothing was better than watching the look on Nassim Ahmed's face when he got spanked first by Barbera and just realised then... Well, that hurt. Ooh, and then that whole thing of, like, all of my little kind of flashy stuff, he's just walking through it and it's not working. Mm. And I just loved it. I just love watching Barrera just close him down
Just, you like someone, a technical attrition fighter.
It's someone figuring out someone's style. It's similar with Chael against Anderson first time.
Yeah.
When Chael talked all that talk and then he went in there and just bullied him.
Yeah.
And he lost in the end, but he... bullied him for 4.5 completely. Rounds. It was like, oh my god, no one's done this to Anderson. This is insane.
That was like one of those fights where there was no losers, was there?
Yeah,
because for Silva to come back on that was just like,
amazing.
You had to clap.
It gave him a leg up. He'd lost. He'd lost a lot of fans because it got quite boring, and that was the one that turned him round. Anyway, the greatest game I have ever played. It's called Inside, and I got it. Shut the fuck up. It's not.
It's a movie. It's a French movie about a guy opening up a...
Shush. It's an amazing game. And I'd heard... weirdly, I'd heard a lot of reviews as saying it was good. And in fact, I'd downloaded it before one of our UFC nights. Hadn't got around to playing it.
I saw it flash up earlier.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was the game or the French movie.
Yeah.
Is it on the same premise? Or?
No, it's not. Or as far as I know.
A computer game?
It's a computer game.
Oh, right.
And it's called... Yeah, it's not just a game I play called Inside.
It's called Inside. It's an immersive experience.
Well, no, I didn't know if it was like a board game.
It's a
computer game. I downloaded it a while back. And weirdly, on one of the Joe Rogan podcasts, when I think it was when Brian Redband was on, he mentioned it and said, it's the best game I've ever played. The ending is the best thing. And then Jamie, who's like the sound man of Rogan, was like, yeah, I played it. It's the best game ever. And they were saying it's like 3-4 hours to complete it. It's a small game. They made, can't think the other game they made, but it was available as an app for a while as well. And it's a beautiful game. And yeah, I've had it for a month or two and I got around to playing it. And the other night, I sat down and started it. And I did not move until it was completed. It is the most beautiful game. Like, you mentioned Stranger Things.
Mm.
It's got a really weird vibe that's similar to Stranger Things.
Excellent.
You start it, and you're just there. Like, you're just off and going. It's kind of a side-scroller.
Yeah.
But it feels weirdly 3D and immersive, even though it's a side-scroller. And it's just completely intuitive. Like, at no point do you get told any controls, anything else. It's just, or where to go, or what the story is. There's no kind of pre-story or anything else, or pulls in to say, here's what's going on. You start playing it, and in my case, 3-4 hours later, you stop playing it. And that's it. Wow. And it was the most, it's amazing. I can't recommend it highly enough.
So give me some more. What's the setup? What's the background in it?
I mean, it's really odd.
It's a side scroller.
It's a very odd game. So it starts off, the menu screen, it just says Inside, you say play, and it's a kid and he's in the woods. And you're running along and you realise there's some people trying to, it's like some, it feels like you're in kind of a factory or some kind of you're in the woods on the grounds of some kind of government experiment. Again, it's got that Stranger Things feel of where there's the evil corporation.
Yeah.
So you learn quite quick, and you're running along. If you keep running, someone will point a torch at you, and you'll get caught. Right. The dogs will come out, or they'll grab you. Yeah. So you stop behind trees, and then you run, and then you go, and then you go in the water, and all these things. And it just gets bigger and bigger and stranger and stranger, but it's just, it blows my mind. I wonder how you'd enjoy it, actually, Chris, because of our playing of Doom and your love of making sure you've not missed anything.
Yeah, you can't miss anything, can you?
The nature of it is that, like, at no point did I, or maybe once in the whole time, did I go somewhere and have to turn back.
Right.
Now, in general, somehow, the way it's designed, it just seems to lead you the right
way. Different story trees,
And just really, trees. If you go in downwards in the story and along and up and round and back on yourself.
Yeah,
and
it's interesting.
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. I mean, purely aesthetically, it's fucking beautiful. Yeah. But just as an immersive story, it blew my mind. So yeah, I recommend that hugely. It's called Inside.
I'll come around your house and play it then.
I was going to say, if you fancy at some point, try and find a time that I'm going to be out, because I don't want to sit there and watch you playing it. But it's 3 to 4 hours, and it's just, it's amazing.
Excellent.
Anyway, you came round again today to try and finish off Doom, and you're still not
complete it.
And
why only had like an hour and a half before you got bored?
Well, I mean, you say that as if it's nothing. That's an hour and a half into like what, 5-6 days of you playing it and not completing
it. That's bullshit, man, isn't it? I've not spent that on it.
A lot of days. But the good thing is, to come and play it, you got to come to the 7th happiest place in the country.
Well, I'm going to have a wee.
Stamford Le Hope.
No, I'm going to have a chance. Piss all over that.
Stamford Le Hope was in the papers. There was a Leon C was like number 2 or number 1 or something. It was in the top few. And Stamford Le Hope was number 7 as the happiest place. Don't yawn. As the happiest place, the 7th happiest place to live in the country. You must agree with that, right?
I really don't.
Why? What's your beef with Stamford?
I lived there when I was very little.
You lucky duck.
And then I moved to Corrinham, which
that explains the misery.
Worst club event I ever done, where there was basically a 100-strong riot, was at Stamford.
It was helicopters and that, wasn't it? I'm sure I was away on tour, and Kate, again, who we mentioned earlier, who I was going out of at the time.
Jim was involved.
Jim was there, and a few people were messaged going, yeah, there's a riot. We need to get out. There's helicopters.
There was. It was fucking mental. Like probably, I think it was like 2 or 3 meat wagons.
Seventh happiest place in the country, man.
I've never had a good night in Stamford Le Hope.
Do not lie.
Do not like it.
There's not a good night to be had in Stamford Le Hope.
No, there's not.
Chris just rushed in, fly undone, belt being done up, just to slag off Stamford Le Hope.
Followed by my dog, which is worrying. Yeah.
And the dog looks out of breath.
And not thirsty.
And no time to explain.
No way. For someone who's done songs about, you know, decent journalism, come on, man, that's just bullshit. Like, there's no scientific report. There's like 7, I don't know how many, there's 7 places in London that are more fun to live than bloody Stamford.
No,
there is, bro.
I've seen the chart. A 7th happiest place in the UK.
One of the smartest guys I know. Adamant that,
I've seen the chart. 7th happiest.
I'm not even joking. When you get on that train, you start coming into Stamford. If I've forgotten what right side of the train I'm on, and then it starts entering into Stamford, I know I'm in Stamford.
I can't stand it, and I live in Grave.
You live in Grave.
Jealousy's an ugly emotion, guys.
Seventh
happiest place in the country. Does anyone else have anything to discuss
poo-poo my lovely podcast idea?
Chris had a podcast idea.
I had nothing to say about it then. And
He sent it to us, and I was really polite about it. Like, look, maybe we'd need to do it in this way, or we could have it as a discussion point.
No.
Tell us your podcast idea, Chris.
My podcast idea is that...
You wanted it to be a video podcast as well.
Yeah. Save my piss.
You thought, we can't deprive the people of the visual of this immersive experience.
I think you need it visual, and it would be me, Pip and Stu, playing a game of Dungeons and Dragons with a dungeon master and three Essex boys. And I just think that is just the best idea, because just look at Stu's deadpan, stone cold.
But we're not three Essex boys, are we? You're a game nerd anyway.
Yeah, I'm a big nerd, yeah. But you're not.
Dragons and stuff.
He likes dragons and stuff.
I ain't into any
of
that.
I used to go to Games Workshop.
That is, well,
I've owned orcs.
I've owned a lot of orcs.
I bought a couple of them books.
I used to play Man of War, bruv.
I love Man of War.
I used to play Man of War. Oi,
word up.
I used to be aware that just be the elves, because their range is amazing. You can pick people off.
It's all coming back, mate. They're re-bringing back all those games.
Of course they are.
It's brilliant. Like, now Pip's worried that I'm going to be like, he's going to wake up Christmas morning, there's going to be that wrapped up Man of War new edition. But look
at Man, you guys should have fucking... discovered Diamond White and fingering.
No, I
did. A Man of War was Dungeons and Dragons or World of Warcraft, but at sea.
Imagine
that. So it was elves with their boats against dwarves with their boats. Oh, hang on, here comes orcs with their boats.
Oh, fucking hell, Stu. Can you imagine
more
that?
Like tugboats. When I was a kid.
Stu would be an orc, though, if you had to put him down. I'd be a plucky elf.
I think Stu would be a human.
He'd be a...
And that's no compliment.
He'd be a human from Grace. World of Warcraft. I am humanoid. Where from? Grace.
Stuart'd be finding two new mates to do a podcast with.
I think that'd be fucking amazing.
That was your
amazeballs.
Idea. And you said, what's cool is... what's cool is each game takes about 5 hours. And I was like, that's exactly what's not cool, probably.
Is
us, like, the drunk cast go on a bit, but there's a variation of topics and subjects. And you'd have to commit a lot to 5 hours of us playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, really, maybe. Yeah. But just watching Stu in pain, like, now for 5 hours would... Stu in pain and me in absolute ecstasy, and you middling somewhere in the middle, trying to placate the lot of us. What are you going to take? You're going to take the golden dragon egg or the... Chris, I seriously don't give a fuck. I've got a family to raise.
Just makes me think of Falcon Hoof now.
Exactly.
Of Libby and Falcon Hoof.
Greetings, Traveller.
I think I was 13 or 14 when it was... Were they Fighting Fantasy, the books?
I don't know. Fighting Fantasy.
But I think they reissued them a while ago.
Was that in the 60s? You think they've just... 60s. A pick your own adventure books.
Like, no, he's talking about just before Tolkien wrote Lord of the Rings. Oh, you wouldn't even get that.
I bet there's a shed load of fucking nerds listening to this that will know exactly what I'm talking about. There was one was called Citadel of Chaos.
Oh,
no, that's Warhammer. Yeah,
one
that's
was
Warhammer.
Called Starship Troopers, I believe.
Space Crusade.
Might have been that. One was it called was. Island of the Lizard King.
that sounds like a Pip one, that one. That's totally your
Island of the Lizard King. No time to explain.
Tale of Two Cities weren't one. It was Tale of... I can't think. But yeah, they were massive, with the kind of geeky ones at school. And I'm not suggesting I weren't a geek at school, but...
You weren't a geek at school, Stu.
It was one of them ones, turn to page 64 if you want to...
That's just a choose-your-own-adventure book, you fucking nerd.
Yeah, but it was like...
That's not Warcraft. That's not the complexity of Dungeons & Dragons.
But it was just... It was like... People had, like, hexagonal fucking dices.
Of course they did.
Oh, Stu still thinks a D12 is a rap group.
Ah,
oh, my God.
Burn.
I do. Is it? What is it?
It's a 12-sided die.
12-sided dice, my friend.
Is it? Yeah. Fucking 12-sided dice.
Just double.
I could give you 12 reasons to just fucking not throw it.
Yeah, interesting. That's all the reason why.
Yeah.
Come on, let's do one. I've not got anything.
This is not good for the podcast, but I've not got anything to give your dog. He just sat down and held my hand.
Yeah, high-five you, wasn't he?
He high-fived me. Look.
Oh, Zavi is beautiful.
He's holding my hand, and I'm like, what? I ain't got anything for you. I've just got chocolate, which is poisonous to dogs.
Is Zavi male or female? Because I'm still not sure.
He's male.
I tell you what I've got for you.
Tell you
what. Would you like a Craig story?
Oh.
He looks fearful.
You look like you wanted to fit a shot, man.
That's an appropriate reaction. Are we gonna round up on a Craig story?
Yeah, okay.
You give him a shot. A shot to wake him up to a Craig story.
So can we, our proud sponsors, we probably need a couple more beers.
Yeah. So we've got
Fire Eater. I don't know if so I want that, Stu.
We've gone through everything on my list. We've gone through
liqueur, that's all the makings of a terrible time.
That's nice.
You can do the rest of that bottle. Just quickly.
That tastes like shit.
I saw a film called Waking Fright, which I recommend highly. Limmy recommended. Oh, I'm burping. It was.
I'm burping.
It's fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I also saw Hell or High Water.
Sorry.
And Chris is getting a phone call now. Jesus, this is. And Chris was saying, can we do a fourth episode? He's really? Getting phone calls, so we're running out of stuff.
I'm so up for it. I'm this up for it.
Let's go, girls. You don't even pause it straight after. You've not even got the timing to end it on Let's Go, Girls. There's then awkward in the background.
No, just because for everyone else, he's getting back into it.
I saw Hell or High Water, and that was really good. We've not even gone into Suicide Squad.
Can we just quickly talk
about it? We're not going to, Chris.
Drink your craft beer.
Big fat
I discussed
dick.
Suicide Squad in one or two of the live podcast, as you'll both be very aware, because of keeping us up to date with each episode. No. I don't think we need to go into
that. Margot Robbie, I liked.
Stu, what Craig story would you like to hear to wrap things up?
Reluctantly,
Reluctantly sponsored by love-beer.co.uk, is it, or .com?
That's the one. That's
you'll
the
find
one.
Them out. You're keen on the Termeil story. I'm keen on the Birmingham story.
I'm happy with Birmingham.
The reason I'm keen on the Birmingham story is it's got some karate in it.
Yep.
I mean, that's not a spoiler.
Chris, before you start telling us your Craig story, can you just shut the door?
I sure can.
It's quite cold, and I've got a feeling we're going to be quite loud.
Is it cold? Are you ashamed of the fact that your family might hear the Craig story?
Your daughters might hear the Craig story.
They don't need to hear that. I've turned it off.
No one needs to hear the Craig story. Just before we start the Craig story, your dog, Zavi, has started to lick my ankles. As if that's not, you know, perfect preparation for a Craig story.
Right, whoa, hold it there, I've had to come in the middle of the drunk cast and interrupt, because a lot of you will know that last time on the drunk cast we told a Craig story, and it was a highlight. It went down well. Obviously there was a lot of demand for another one, and as I said early on in this episode, look, Chris, there's no need for a fourth part. You know, we'd got through the end of our lists, we were quite drunk, I have to kind of be the circus master in all these, and I kind of felt, right, we're at a point where there's some good stuff, but we might be getting to the point where we're too drunk to really give you any worth, so we should call it a day. So I declared that the third part would be the last part. What happened next was a Craig story of such epic proportions that it lasted over 50 minutes. Considering the rest of this episode had been about 50 minutes, and I thought, let's end it with a Craig story, that'll be 10 minutes. Chris in his drunk state, and me and Stu interrupting a lot, and I mean, obviously quite an epic story, meant that the Craig story was 50 minutes long. So I decided that for your own data and all this kind of storage on your phone that we would just pop the Craig story into its own fourth part. Available straight away. Like, we're not going to tease you and make you wait. It's available now. But it's become its standalone episode because it's a 50-minute story about Chris's mate, Craig. Yeah. Enjoy.
You've been listening to Scrooby's Picks Discretion Pieces.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.